Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Tuesday, May 22nd. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be with you until 1:30 today. My producer and the first voice you'll hear when you call us today at 43-41790 is Mr. Dennis Johnson. And please remember those who call that he can only answer the phone and place you in the queue if there is one. He cannot engage in any sort of conversation because he's right opposite me, and his voice will be coming over the ear at the same time that you're trying, that someone else is on the line trying to speak, or I'm speaking. So please don't try to engage him in a conversation. He'll put you in the queue and then we'll get to you. Thank you for that. Of course, you can also reach us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. Wow. 2 days before Election Day, the big day that so many of us, I should say, have been looking forward to for the last several weeks. So before we go to the phone lines, I just want to share with you something that is really bugging me. And my concern really is about Barbados. It's about what happens to our country's good name when this election is over and all the mudslinging, half-truths, and downright lies stop on a nightly basis. Why I'm so concerned about this is I got a phone call. Somebody called me from Canada, and they mentioned to me about an article that they saw. And it was about tapping phones. And I told the person, look, you know, it's what we call around here the silly season. And people make a lot of accusations. And clearly, if there was a situation where phones were being tapped, I would think that that's a criminal offense and that the police would be involved. But the larger issue here is this, and this is something that I have dealt with consistently, and those who normally hear me could attest to this. There are people who call here and consistently talk about corruption. And I often say, where is the evidence? I may have my personal thought. In fact, I do have my thoughts about it. And I have been hearing things like everybody else. But unless there's evidence to that effect, I mean empirical evidence to that effect, as long as I'm sitting in this chair, I will really not engage, will not take on those sort of accusations. I will ask you one thing, where's the evidence? Likewise, I think it is sad when we can hear on a political platform from a cabinet minister that the phone of the prime minister and other cabinet ministers are being tapped by people in the opposition. It's just simply stupid. We need to stop this type of thing, because at the end of the day, it is Barbados will have to live this down after that. The same talk about corruption. If people have been corrupt, I would expect if the one of the opposition parties get in, that some sort of forensic audit is done, and you show us the level of corruption, or not, you're also talking foolishness, and you need to apologize to the people who are presently in government. We need to stop this, not destroy mud at people just because we can do it. All you're doing, quite frankly, is inflaming supporters, and some irrational person will do something stupid, and then the whole thing breaks down. We do not need that in this country. And it's about time that we mature. There are issues to be discussed. Discuss the issues. That is what is needed at election time, especially one in which we are at the juncture we are at with our economy, with our society in general. It is about time this foolishness comes to an end. I'll get off my soapbox there, and I'd like to welcome my first caller. Good morning. You are on the air. Yeah, welcome to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Bob. Thank you, Price. How are you, sir?
I am well, and how are you?
Not too bad.
How have you been going to the meetings, sir?
I only went to two meetings, and after that, it wouldn't make any sense for me to continue to going because I'll be basically listening to the same thing night after night, and I don't intend to break up my night sleep to listen to utter foolishness all through the night. I can find other things worthwhile to do with my time or the other time I have on the face of the earth.
So you're saying that what the politicians are saying is utter foolishness?
Some of what I heard.
But don't you think the issues have been discussed by the politicians?
I like to read the manifestos. That's where I get most of my information from. I don't want to hear go to political meeting here who got in at this boy who's at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to listen to that.
So the manifesto for you is a contract?
In a way, but I like to see what is in it or what is there that I will get out of it. What is there for the people of Barbados. But I want to know less.
That means it is a contract for you then.
Okay, if you could look at it that way. I want to look at the manifesto of the Barbados Party. And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Ask me? I can't ask you for any big Barbados Labour Party.
You can explain it.
Try to guide you, but I still can't.
The first one has to do with what Dr. Clegg Master said concerning the increasing of the government wages and salary. Where we say that we pay some amount of money in taxes. And therefore, by these amount of taxes, this increase. My question to you is, the first question is, if it was as simple as that, why did the DUP not do that?
And my answer to you on that question and every other question you will bring to me is the same. Uh-huh. First, the Barbados Labour Party has decided that they will take certain choices in how they will go about managing the economy. Mm-hmm. The Democratic Labour Party, they decided that they would govern the country in a certain way. They also made their choice. You and other people in Barbados, we will sit back and we can have an opinion on that choice. So I really can't answer your question. You need to seek out the person who's running in your ear for the Barbados Labour Party, and you can answer that. What you should be telling me is what you like or dislike about the BLP manifesto. What you should be telling me and telling the rest of us. But you can't be asking me a whole bunch of questions. But I can't answer you.
It's
not about that anyhow.
I can tell what I like about it. I like he's a very attractive. Like in manifesto, that's what I like about it. But the contents, I might have queries with some of the contents.
All right, so tell me something. Because I've heard you on this, huh? This is not the first time.
Of course.
And what I'm wondering about, you never talk about the contents of the Democratic Labour Party's manifesto. You never talk about the contents of the UPP's manifesto or Solutions Barbados. And the UPP has some attractive stuff in there. And so does the Democratic Labour Party. But I haven't heard you say anything about that. You're always on the bees.
No, excuse me for one moment. I already, some time ago, I think it was last year, just before Christmas time, just before the raid was going off, I made reference to the Solutions Barbados Manifesto. And it was querying these giveaways that they were giving away to talk about water, et cetera. And I said already to myself, in this practical world of Barbados, where things are so hard, can that really occur? In a small way, but I didn't venture to full details of it. But I know the reason for the Barbados, the are the two major parties, but I'm not a member of none of them. I told you already on more than one occasion, I belong to organizations. It's not a political party, really, that's because we are not sending no candidates to contest any of these seats. It's what you call a starting organization.
Is a what? I didn't hear that word.
We're just starting as an organization.
Oh, we're just starting as an organization.
Yes. Our name is the Four Star League. And therefore,
a different name? But you changing names? You changing names faster than Mr. Jones can rename schools, man?
No, no, but the person that was in charge, he's sick. He's no longer interested in politics. But anyway, let me go on, though. I want to ask you now, let's assume that you have to go to the IMF. And the IMF, one of the conditions is that your wage bill and your salary bill is too high. You're with me so far. But yet you are going to increase the wage bill and the salary bill. what you think the IMF game would tell you.
You know what they say about assume, right?
Uh-huh.
Good. So that's all I have to tell you about that. Right? Have a good day. We have to take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Got two WhatsApps here saying that the same gentleman I spoke to, my first caller, he was also on air this morning on the other radio station with the same questions. That's one person saying. The next person is saying that he was on air this morning decrying the BLP and how young people working up. Anyhow, I want to deal with this issue because I've heard something about it. In fact, I know that we're trying to get on to some employers on it directly. This mail says, I wish to draw to your attention that some privately owned businesses have been telling employees they would be closing 1 hour before the scheduled closing time to accommodate employees for them to vote. If a company in Christchurch closes at 5 and I live in St. Lucie, when will I vote? Kindly note that the company usually opens at 9 and is opening at 8 instead. Those of us without a car have to leave home at 6 to get a bus to get to work for 8, and we cannot get to work late. What are we to do in this case? And we are not being given time during the day to go and vote. Who should I contact? I don't think this is right. Before the end of the program, I will try my best to get some official to comment on that for you, letter writer, because this is, as I said, something that we have heard about and that we're really trying to get to the back of it to find out exactly what is really going on here. And now we go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, Sanka.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. I am neither a D or B, but I was passing through the station, and this morning I heard the Trinidadian woman, before she came on, Maureen was speaking to a guy, and he was about to tell her something, and she cut him off, and the Trinidad lady was the next caller, and she was laughing, and, you know, I heard when she come on VOB and the next guy, they say that how we always be so unmannerly and how we always cut off people, but I see y'all is allow people to speak, right? Y'all don't cut them off above, and they don't find nothing offensive, right? When Maureen or any other call, any other body on that station cut people off, and then they come over here and they say that y'all is behave so bad, y'all is so unmannerly, and, you know, the thing don't give them a chance. But I see David is give them so much and let them run their mouths. Mm-hmm. But Maureen don't.
All right, my
and
dear.
She didn't see anything wrong with that.
All right.
But I will just give you a little scenario.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he died, right, and he went to heaven. And at the pearly gates, St. Peter meet him and said, you have two choices. One, to go to heaven, and one, to go to hell. One day you go in heaven, one day you go in hell. So the first place he took him is hell. And when he went down the elevator, when he reached down, he saw people drinking champagne, flowing, everything he can think of he had there. So he enjoyed his day. The next day he had to go. When St. Peter come back for him, he took him to heaven, and it was lullaby and everything. When at the end of the day now, St. Peter come to him and asked him, what choice do you want, heaven or hell? He said, hell, of course. My friends are there. All my friends are there, and they're having a ball. So St. Peter sent him back down the elevator. When he get in, when he go down, it's getting darker and darker. When he reach at the bottom and the elevator open, the place was dusty. All his friends in glamorous clothes that he saw, they were in old clothes, the face line, and he was like, but, St. Peter, no, the devil come now and put his arms along his shoulder and said, yes. Then I was campaigning. Now is reality. So we are living in reality now.
Let me just read this other WhatsApp message here. I'm a CARICOM, a Caribbean national living in Barbados since April 1999. About 2.5 weeks ago, I checked to see if my name was on the voters list, and it was not. The place where I checked, the woman at the front desk gave me a form to fill out, which I did. She said she'll forward it to the electoral office. This morning, I've checked my name, and it is still not there. Do you think that's fair to me as a Commonwealth citizen? Sir, do you know if she, first of all, do you know if she did forward it to the electoral office? That's the first question that I would have to ask first before I jump to any other conclusion. And if she did forward it, when did she forward it? Because, you know, there was a cutoff point. But you will need to go back and sort of backtrack there before you jump to any conclusions. This is Brass Tacks. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
Hi, good.
Have you been going to meetings?
Excuse me?
Have you been going to meetings?
No, darling, I'm going to meetings. I'll tell you my point. Meeting point.
Okay.
I don't have to go to a meeting.
Right.
I got enough brushes in my house.
I recognize your voice now.
That's so
true. Don't try to sneak in who you're going to vote for again today, okay? Please don't do that. What can we do for you today?
They're running from the river to the point, and from the point back to the river. You know why? They ain't getting the satisfaction. They're getting the shortcut, and they're running here to hear the open kapal, but they're wrong. I want to ask you a question. If you are my boss, and I'm the deputy, and you out of the island, and you come back in, am I to report to you now to tell you what went on in the company? Or I ask you questions, so I ask you too.
Well, that's usually the thing, because you're deputizing for me in my absence.
Right. Mm-hmm. And why is you out of the island? So you're going to wait now to a staff come and tell you, but sir, the deputy didn't tell you that there was a fight. They didn't tell you that there was a war. Well, I tell you now. So then you're going to call me and tell me, but you didn't tell me nothing about this. Somebody bring this to me. So therefore, I'm saying that to say this. No name, no blame, no lockup. The thing is about it, we need to sit down and study what we want in life. I can't even get no food to eat. You got no food that's spare.
I think you're a very happy young woman. You have a great day and take good care of yourself. This is Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. I'll just read this next one. Bajans cannot criticize the government in the pine. They flock to this radio station to air their views. Therefore, it appears as if VOB has a bias against the government. Totally understood. Understand that one. Good morning. You're on the air, Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, sir.
Okay, fine. 2 days ago. Nice. That's nice. Thing to say. I would like to say the economy is the elephant in the room, right?
I think it's more like a dinosaur, sir.
It's more like a dinosaur.
Uh-huh.
In 2007, Barbados had a rated economy. Today, Barbados economy is rated at CCC, a notch or two above a default, and deep in junk bond territory. Since 2009, the economy suffered 24 downgrades, inclusive of the 4 by Carrie Chris, 12 by Standard & Poor's, and 8 by Moody's.
I want to repeat that. You said 12 by Standard & Poor's, 8 by Moody's, and 4 by Carrie Chris. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
With an overdue one, with an overdue downgrade by Moody's. Because their last downgrade came on the 9th of May, March 2017, that is about 14 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Government borrow loans to repay loans. Currently, they are unable to borrow on the foreign market. Local banks have refused to purchase long-term government paper since 2011 due to a lack of confidence in the dollar. On the 28th of July 2013, Mr. Sinclair said on Brass Tacks that local and foreign investors has lost confidence in Barbados' economy. In 2012-13, Anta Merchant Bank called a loan, a government guaranteed loan of $120 million with the Four Seasons. During the Central Bank 2016 fourth quarter report, the governor stated that government indebtedness to individuals and companies stood at $4.6 billion. In 1994, Barbados national debt stood at $2 billion. By 2008, it reached $6 billion, an additional $4 billion in 14 years. By 2016, it reached $14 billion. An additional $8 billion in 8 years. Some would say with nothing to show for it, right?
Some will say that.
Right. The economy is $500 million smaller than in 2007. In 2007, corporation taxes were $499 million. By 2015, they declined by $380 million to a mere $119 million.
Sir, you're reciting all the
yes.
Well, woes,
I was just showing,
but
yes.
I would tell you that the buses are still running. They may be few, but they're still running. That the garbage, your garbage is being collected. Even if not by sanitation trucks,
yes.
By private help, but your garbage is still being collected and you don't have to pay for it directly. That the road network, it may be a little holy, we've got a lot of potholes, but
not
at
a
least,
holy.
But yes, not holy, yeah. We've got a lot of potholes, but yeah. it's still a relatively good road network that you can still go to the hospital and get treatment, that you can still... school children are still going school free on the buses, and they're still getting free education at the secondary level. The point is, sir, is all those facts that you put out there are fine, because I'm aware of a lot of them. But the other side of the coin is what I just told you. And you know me, I like to go for this for balance in all these things.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So the question that I would put to you now is, what is the answer? How do we get ourselves out of this? Do you have any ideas?
Well,
and don't tell me which party we can vote for, because I don't want to hear that.
No,
I just want to, since you seem to be a statistic guru. Do you have any ideas of what direction we should go in? Should we be going to the IMF? Should we be going to Dubai to get that big loan that Dr. Exford talked about? What do you think is the answer?
As Ms. Motley said, there's several. You have to put everything on the table. Everything on the table and look for the most feasible, right? Now, you have
look for the most feasible option. That's what he's
option. Now, yes, the IMF, you can't rule it out. Now, people that are critical of the BLP are saying they got to go to the IMF. They should be critical of the government who plays the economy.
So to me, sir, that's a non-issue. Why is a non-issue? Is because Mr. Sinclair has said on more than one occasion that if they recognize there's a need to go to the IMF, that they will. So this is not an issue as far as I'm concerned, because he has made his hand quite clear. So this is not a real major issue. In fact, the only one that I can remember not saying that they won't be going to the IMF if they were to attain power would be the Solutions Barbados.
He implicitly, right.
No, Mr. Sinclair implied it because I interviewed him and he said so. And we have said, he has said so on the campaign trail as well. So it's there.
So that's my point, right? That's my point, right? You have to go to, you know, refinance the debt. Because you can't get it out of a hole by yourself. Now, I'm saying, but like when people were critical, including the former prime minister, I deal with that at the elections because he did do distractions. Huh? Now, even when he came to the government in 1994, he had to stimulate the economy. This economy, yes, you can't just come and say, well, okay, you can't. The people are critical of Ms. Small, as I said. But you also got to do a stimulus as well. Even if the government is not really responsible for the total stimulus, the foreign investment, the investors, in fact. Because I heard Ms. Small, said recently that there are 25 projects waiting to be implemented. You know what the big thing in all of this? Lack of confidence. The investors, both locally and internationally, do not have any confidence in the Barbados economy right now.
Sir, I heard you. I understand you. I've engaged you for a little while, so I can't continue. I have a whole set of calls here lined up. But the question that really needs to be asked, let's assume, because this is a contest, and we do not know who is going to win this contest.
We don't know.
Okay? No. We do not know. We think we know, but we don't know.
Okay?
Good. And if the present government retains power, what will happen then? You don't answer. Next time we talk, God willing, we will speak.
You take care.
You too. Have yourself a good day. This is Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning, sir.
I know, like yourself, I want to speak to you. I think you're full of anticipation. Oh, we all are. It's just a matter of hours now, and then it will be the general election. Now, I must thank you again. I often say that you like balance, and I like how you addressed that thing about the person getting that hour. That was a very good call on made by yourself to have a clarity given to it, because it would be a problem for a host of persons. I like that idea of getting somebody to come and explain. And there are certain things laid out as regarding what would be the right of the worker. Time given and all that has been spelled out over months now, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and that kind of thing. So I don't know if any person should be a victim of any situation like now, but I like your call that you bring somebody to put it very, very crystal clear and assist those persons who would be in a bit of doubt or not handled as the author have been.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'll listen to you. Sorry about that.
So that's my take. And as I've said, I spoke to Mr. Harris yesterday. I'm not going to be in any cutting trust right now. I've done what I deem would be appropriate for myself, and I am not going to get in any whatever. Now, just be
so you've been attending meetings and
yeah,
listening.
I've been attending meetings. Yeah.
Okay. So what is the feel? Do you feel? No. Let me put it this way. I don't want you to tell me which party you think is in front or not. I don't want that. What I'm asking you is, do you get the sense that Barbadians are really into the election and they are going to be willing to come out and vote? Are you getting that sense?
Yeah. What I've gleaned from what has been happening is that they are, and they're very ready to vote. And I think there's a lot of comments given here and there and varying views, et cetera. And I am satisfied that a lot of talk has been gone into and expectations would obviously be given from both sides and that kind of thing. And I'm satisfied that persons are very interested in this election. And I have seen several of them already. And I think this one is going to be very... Well, all elections are unique in themselves. Mm-hmm. But this one has a lot of... lot of stuff will come out in this one, a lot of expectations. Oh, my, you know, everybody's bubbling over, and the anticipation is heightened every second of the day. Yeah, persons are out, and then I'm satisfied there's the attendance for both sides, and yes, I am. I'm pretty clear.
All right, so thank you for your call. Huh? Have a good day. We'll take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.